from this ascension, we want to accompany Christ to the heavens so we can see our lives better, where we're going, and what Christ has done for us. When I was in the seminary, Father Benedict Rochelle, who is now has deceased, but he did two of our parish missions. He had a TV program on EWTN, and we also went to New York once, a bunch of us priests, and had a retreat with him and things. And he once was asked the question, if Christ were going to come today, what would you do? And Father Grishel said, look busy. Look busy. Don't find yourself like these two apostles standing there after Jesus goes into the clouds, something we're familiar with, right? If he was in Oregon, he'd disappear into the cloud bank up here today. And maybe the disciples were in Oregon. And so, anyway, Jesus disappears into the clouds, and they're just standing there like this. And these two angels show up. They say, get going. What are you looking up there for? You've got work to do. Quit looking into the heavens and get going with the mission of your life. But don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes down on you. Because we find them here asking the wrong question. I find this a very encouraging reading on many levels, is that the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. There's more than the 12 there. Like most of these stories, there's others that aren't mentioned. Especially, you know, we have the women that accompanied him and the 120. There's probably a large gathering watching Jesus, but only believers, see? Those who crucified him aren't here. They don't see this. Christ doesn't allow them to see the truth. They have to find him on their own. And as he goes up, before he goes up, they ask this question. Well, Lord, now that you've risen from the dead, we know that you're God. Are you now going to throw out the Romans and establish an earthly kingdom? And they say, Jesus says, don't do anything. Don't do anything until I talk to you later, because you got the wrong idea. They still don't know what Christ is doing. And in the same way, this is the way it is with us so often. We need the Holy Spirit to show us the direction of our lives. And Christ wants to do this. He's only going to tell us so much. He says, when I go, he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons the Father established by his own authority. This is the knowledge we're going to have in heaven. Right now, we don't know everything, and God doesn't want us to know everything. It would ruin our opportunity that we have on earth. I've meditated on this quite a bit. As you know, I've had a lot of losses in my family. We've buried a lot of people here in the last couple of months, actually, and of all ages. And it does cause one to think a little bit. I was at a graveside once, and I got to the, I parked at the end of a line of cars curving along the road there to bury somebody. And I noticed as I walked by the cars, I thought, you know, how much like life this is. We're all like a different car, you know. It's different miles on the odometer. We don't know how long we're going to drive it. Some of us have an expensive car, and some have a very inexpensive one. Some of them rattle a lot, and some of them are brand new, right? I told the bishop when I was ordained that he got a used car, so somebody else got miles on the odometer, you know, that kind of thing. But we have to get out of the car. This is a temporary home. The vehicle we have now is for a purpose. The people that don't know the gospel, haven't listened to God, might get the idea that we have to stuff our car full of stuff and drive to all the best places. Well, that's fun, you know, but it's temporary. What is my mission? We don't want to lose sight of where we're going on the freeway. One day we have to park the car, and this for Christians is not a sad thing. It means that we're going to have the fulfillment of our lives and our mission. All of us have been given a mission by God. If we don't fulfill it, it stays undone for all eternity. We are already in eternity. It's a question of where we are going to choose to go after death, and what kind of life is God giving me to live right now. I gained a lot of wisdom. I wrote this in my column. I've had the opportunity to bury people, as I said, at all ages. The oldest one, I've mentioned her before, but she was such a funny lady. Her name was Audrey, and she was 108 over here at the Avamere. And in fact, they made a big poster of her and put it up in the common room. She used to come to monthly mass we do over there, and she'd sit in the front row, couldn't hear anything. She'd say, "Father, there's nothing left between the ears." You know, she was so funny. I feel that way myself, and I'm not 108. every day. There's less and less between the years. But the one that really moved me, though, was we had somebody whose child died at birth, and it was a full term child, and so we did the funeral here, and the burial for this child, and it got me to thinking about time, that this child went straight to heaven. In some ways, we're envious of this, aren't we? He could not say no to God, but we have been given the gift of time. We don't know how long. This is part of our test. We're not permitted to know the times and the seasons, but we're given the gift of time. Time to say yes to God and time to say no, and then time to repent afterward. Time to serve him and to fulfill the mission God has for us, which always involves other people. Time to recognize him in the poor and in the sick, somebody in our family that needs us, somebody we listen to, somebody we help with a donation, and did not recognize at the time that it was Christ that we were serving. It's always Christ, but we aren't given to see him directly. See, he's gone into the clouds, and now he's going to be hidden from view. But he said he's always going to be with us, particularly through the Holy Spirit, but it's up to us to locate him. And this is what our lives on earth consist of. People that have passed over, of course, nobody wants to come back, but they envy our opportunity to serve God without seeing, to do things and make sacrifices without realizing what a great reward there is in it. Once we see what the game is all about, once he gives us all knowledge, the time of opportunity is over forever. You can't ever go back and unlearn what God is going to show us and the great wealth he wishes to give us. But he wants to be chosen before we see him in reality, to serve him without looking at the reward, to come to understand what life is really all about by listening to his word and being taught by the Holy Spirit and the church. I think as we approach Pentecost, you might want to join me. I mean, I should have put it in the bulletin, but maybe we should all say a prayer to the Holy Spirit. We call it a novena, the 9 days from today until Pentecost Sunday, including both days, in preparation for the receiving the Holy Spirit in our lives, a daily prayer to the Holy Spirit to make us more and more open to what God is saying, more and more purified, and to be able to fulfill that which God has in store for us, because our whole future depends on that. There are people depending on us to listen to the Holy Spirit. All of us are, Jesus is not promising to make the whole world his himself. Instead, we are all individually outposts of the Holy Spirit in the world. We are his kingdom within us. And so he wishes us to listen to the Holy Spirit, and by many proofs, over 40 days, he says, before he ascended into heaven, he gave the apostles 40 days of many proofs of his presence. In the same way, he gives us 40 years or 80 years or whatever of many proofs of his presence and a mission, and he tells us to get going. So we ask that God, that the Holy Spirit will fill us all and guide us more and more by giving us that insight of the ascension that Christ wished to give us through the church, through the scriptures, through our conscience well-formed, through our lives, and through the experiences God gives us each day.